Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 46, if you turn over there, that's one passage we're going to look at, maybe three different passages this morning. That is my intention anyway. In fact, stand right back up. Stand up and I'll read it together. I'll read it for you. Psalm 46, verses 7 and 8. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. Let me say it again. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. I want you to reflect for just a moment at the beginning of the message this morning. It's a wonderful crowd. It's the first time we've gotten all the extra chairs seated, set up. We got more. We got 200 of those chairs. We'll be able to fill this building right up to max. And this is a great start. And God bless you. And we've seen so many blessings of God. This summer has been a wonderful summer. I told you a year ago, before we even started this building project, 2023, that summer, I said at the end of the summer, last year about this time, that's the greatest summer we've ever had. Man, we never had a harvest like that summer. And I want to tell you that 2024 has been even greater. We've seen literally people saved almost every week. People baptized, just many, many people baptized. We've seen the hand of God. Many of our own people are out of town right now this morning. And yet we have this kind of crowd here today. God bless you. And I want to say at the beginning of the message, just in case you misunderstand until I get to the, you know, you misunderstand, you don't know what I'm saying. All the glory goes to God. Everything that has happened here ever, it is humbling. It truly is. Because we that are here and have been here for some time, we know who we are. We know what we're all about. And yet God is blessing. And I want to tell you again, all the glory goes to God. Just remember for just a moment. Remember the tin tabernacle? Remember that little, man, the church, in 1974, the church started in a farmhouse out in Fiber. And from there, it went to the pool hall in Redyard. And from there, it met in a restaurant for a little while. And then the little tin tabernacle was built, which was nothing more than a garage with no windows and no garage door. And it was 28 by 50. And we packed everything in that building. Man, it was started by Harvey Hafner and his wife, Jean, and about 25, 30 people. And I come 7 years later, that was 1974. And I come 7 years later, it's the last place on earth I planned on pastoring. In fact, I didn't even plan on pastoring. It's the last place on earth I planned on ministering, but God had bigger ideas. And man, God bless you. Remember those cold metal chairs? Gray. Remember the horse trough for the baptismal tank? Do you remember the little mice running around and the fluorescent lights up above? Little pink feet running through the lights. And every once in a while, one of those mice would get convicted and they'd want to run the aisle and they ran down the middle. I remember one time in particular. Hey, full disclosure, I don't like mice. Amen, Devin? I saw Devin, big husky man, big preacher man, run like a scared little schoolgirl out of the garage because there was a mouse on the workbench. He was high-stepping the whole time. I started running with him. I said, what are we running for? There's a mouse in there. I said, oh, okay. But anyway, there was mice. One time I'm up preaching, and all of a sudden, ladies were standing up. It wasn't a big crowd, big auditorium. Stand to her feet. A mouse was making his way up to the front of the church, and ladies were standing up and trying to contain themselves and trying not to scream because it was a church service. But God has brought us a long ways, hasn't he? Man, we couldn't plow the parking lot. We couldn't heat the building. Yeah, we were from the wrong side of the tracks. And I just want you to know that God is good. Man, God brought us along. He's brought us so far. I'm so thankful. A week ago now, there was a man during the school day, an old man with a white beard taking pictures out here. Well, that's a red flag in the day and age in which we live. One of the teachers came up and told me about it. I went down to see him, and I found out he was a brother. He watches live stream from downstate, and he said, boy, I just want you to know I thank God for this ministry. And he took pictures of all the buildings and went inside. He said, and it just happened to be recess, so there was kids out in the playground over there, and the place was alive. Got a card this last week from a lady that said, we watch the live stream. We hear all the music, the choir numbers, the preaching of God's word. Underline, please don't stop. And we've got an awesome responsibility. We've got a great God. Matthew chapter 16. Would you turn there? Matthew in chapter 16. It was this summer, a preacher came up from downstate. We got a lot of preacher friends all over America. And preacher came up from downstate and wanted to see what has been called the Kinross Miracle. And let me just tell you a little bit about that, and then we're going to get right to the Bible, all right? The Kinross Miracle. He said, we hear so much about it. We hear about it at preachers' meetings, and we wanted to come up and see it for ourselves. So we got a weekend off. My wife and I jumped in the pickup truck. We traveled north, come all the way up I-75, and got over the bridge, and it's tree after tree after tree after tree. And they look at one another and say, man, you know, this thing's been exaggerated. They turn the Kinross off, the Kinross exit 378, and they come down, and they find the church. And before they get to the church, the lady said, man, this. And they pulled into the parking lot. It was a Sunday morning this Sunday, and the parking lot was packed. And she looked over at her husband and said, this doesn't make sense. And not because it looks like we're in the middle of nowhere, right? And they come in, and people are happy, and the building's right full, and people are joyful, and they're singing, and the altar preaching takes place, and people walk forward in the aisle, and three people got saved that morning, and they get back in the pickup truck, and before he starts the pickup, he looks over at his wife and says, what do you think? And she said these very words. It doesn't make sense. And I told that preacher when he called me and told me about that, that explains the ministry of Fundamental Baptist Church exactly. We're up here in the middle of nowhere, and God is moving, and people are coming from an hour away in every direction. It doesn't make sense. Let me tell you how good God is. Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. I'll tell you how good God is. Everything we have is paid for. They're in a dollar of debt. We started this building project, and I told everybody in the church, $100,000. We need to keep that in our fund because we pay a lot of salaries. There's a lot of ministries, and you know, and all that's going on, the school, and all that's going on. We got to keep that. And I told them, I said, when we get done, we're still going to be $100,000. There's going to be meat in the storehouse, and we're done. Over $750,000. Money came from every direction. Some came from little old ladies. Some came from teenagers that gave hundreds of dollars. Some came from struggling young families. Everybody contributed. Everybody gave a little bit. Almost $60,000 from the live stream watchers came into the, and we're able to do, and it's all said and done, and we got $100,000 in the checking account yet, in our reserve fund. I want you to know there's a God in heaven that is real. And when he said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church, he meant it. I'll tell you, that's the Kinross miracle. Bigger than that. 50 years. I did not total this up until this week. I knew we had a few. 50 years, and you know how many preachers came out of this congregation that stood up on their hind legs and preached the word of God? 30. Amen. 30. Now, 18 of them were full-time, bona fide, ordained preachers, and 12 of them, they're just as big, they're lay preachers, and they stand on pulpits, and they fill pulpits, and they preach the word of God. Some of them are in prison, some they fill pulpits all over the area. 30, just think of, that's the Kinross miracle. The miracle of Kinross is souls being saved almost every week. The miracle of Kinross is changed lives. That's what it's about. Man, and I want you to know we're not done yet. Okay, look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, I know you know the passage. Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, verse 13, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, and one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, listen, this is a mouthful. Thou art the Christ. That's not his name. That's a title. That means Messiah. That means promised one. Peter looked him right in the eye and said, Jesus, you're the Messiah. You're the promised one that was prophesied over and over again by the Old Testament prophets that he would come. Thou art the Christ. Then he says, the Son, the only begotten Son of the living God. That is deity. He is God in the flesh. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He said, Peter, you didn't get that from another man. You got that right from God. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, Petros, little stone, and upon this rock, Petra, stone of rock of Gibraltar, I will build, talking about Christ, I will build, circle it, my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And you can take it to the bank. I'll be with you from the beginning until the end. Started in the Tin Tabernacle. And that's what we called it. The Tin Tabernacle. And what happened that first Sunday that I was there? It happened before I was there. God saw some Christians that were sincere and far from perfect. And determined to follow the word of God. And a little piece of heaven fell down in that little Tin Tabernacle over there in Red Garret. Just a little bit of glory. And it's been going on for 50 years. And God is blessed again and again and again. If you would take your Bibles and go over to Acts in chapter 1. Acts in chapter 1. What I want to preach here in the remainder of the time, and I'll be done right on time. What I want to preach in the remainder of the time is not new to many of us, but it's true. And it's good doctrine. And here's what I want. This is the pastor speaking now, who is nobody special, sinner saved by grace, flesh and blood, feet of clay, just like you, my house, just like your house. But I know what God says, and I know what the book says, and I've been studying it a long time, and I've tried to live by it and live for it. And I've let my God down again and again and again. Hey, I want to say this morning. I just feel like I got to say it. Everything that's good that's ever happened in the ministry of Fundamental Baptist Church, it's because of our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. Don't ever say that's Tim Rader's church. Man, that grinds me to no end. That is not what it's about. Anything bad that's ever happened, you can lay it at my feet. Because I probably am the instigator. I'm probably the one. Here's what I want at Fundamental Baptist Church. And whatever time is left, and there are more people unsaved outside the walls of this church than are saved. You got to know that, and I know that. And whatever time is left, I want everything the first century church had right here. I want it all. I want the apostles' doctrine. I want the word of God to be just thundered at every turn. And the core of every ministry. And I don't mean some diluted version of it. I want the pure, unadulterated word of God. I want to see sinners come into Christ. I want to see the joy of the Lord and the fellowship that we read about here in this first century church. Here's what happened in Acts in chapter 1, and I'm just gonna summarize it and get right to the end of the chapter here this morning. God met with his people. God met in a powerful way. Before he left, he told them, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Remember the 120? Remember the upper room? You wait there until you be endued with power from on high. It's going to happen in Jerusalem. It's going to happen in a place that I've prepared in an upper room. And they tarried there. They waited for 10 days. They had a prayer meeting for 10 days. And then in Acts chapter 2, you read about it, the Holy Spirit came. The Holy Spirit came like a rushing, mighty wind. Just prior to that, they knew what was going to happen. They knew what it was all about. They didn't know how it was going to happen. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, they got their marching orders. But ye shall receive power. Dunamis. Same word we get the word dynamite from. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then Samaria, and then to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that word uttermost, I preached it last week, that's a great word. It means the last places. It means the farthest places. It means the worst places. He's saying, I'm going to ordain the church. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit of God, and he's going to be rocket fuel for that church. And I'm going to endue you with power from on high, and I'm going to give to you the Great Commission and the church, my church, the church of Jesus Christ, my bride, for 2,000 years, you're to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're to fulfill the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit comes. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Peter preaches, Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, a 584-word sermon laced with Old Testament scriptures. He was a Bible preacher. But he preached more than the 584 words. I don't want you to misunderstand, because he said other things as well. But on record, we've got these 584 words. And then we get to chapter 2 and verse 37. Would you turn there? Now, when they had heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do about this? The Son of God came to this earth and we crucified him with our sinful hands. He was the lifeline to get to the Father God, the Lord God Jehovah. He was the way to heaven. He was you mean Jesus of Nazareth? He was the Messiah, and we crucified him. What are we going to do? And Peter says in verse 38, Peter said unto him, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's for you as well. You understand what happened at Pentecost and the 120 that were there in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit coming and energizing them and then quickening them and making them alive and giving them all the power and doing them with power from on high. What happened to them is for you and for me as well. There's only one Pentecost. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, only came one time. So that's not how it's going to happen. But you get born again, and here's what happens when you get saved. The Holy Spirit starts to tell you, hey, you need to get saved. Hey, you know what? You're going to hell. If this Jesus is the Messiah, the Holy Spirit is wooing you. That's actually a biblical term. He's wooing you. He's bringing you to the feet of the Savior. He's introducing you to Jesus Christ. And you finally surrender and you bow your heart and you cry out to God and ask for salvation. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within you. And he quickens you, and he indwells you, and he seals you, and all the power you're ever going to need. You got all the God you're ever going to need in this entire life. All you got to do is surrender to him. But you get born again. They said, Peter, what are we going to do? He said, well, you got to get saved. And then it says in verse 39, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Here we go. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Real quickly, three things here real quickly. Day of Pentecost. Number one, they got born again. They got saved. They received Jesus as their Savior. Of those that got saved, about 3,000 of them got baptized, and they became members of the church at Jerusalem. So they were born again, they were baptized, and they were Bible-led. It says here in verse 42, and they counted, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they were a Bible people, these born-again people. I can't tell you they were Baptist people. I want to be able to tell you they were Baptist. I will tell you this. They were Baptistic people because they're following the Word of God. And so here they get saved. They get born again after hearing this message of repentance from Peter and others as well. And they get born again. They receive the Word of God. They follow the Lord in the waters of baptism. And if you're here and you're born again and you've not yet been baptized, you need to take that step of obedience. So God, you set yourself up so you can be blessed of God. You want to obey him. So they were born again, they were baptized, and they were Bible-led. It was all about the apostles' doctrine. It was all about holding to the truths of God's word. Born-again Baptist people are biblicists. They are Bible-led. You know what the authority of Fundamental Baptist Church is? The book. That's it. It's not a preacher. It's the word of God. You say, well, what about headquarters? Our headquarters is heaven. We're independent Baptists. We're a New Testament congregation. We don't give an account to another man here on this earth. We've got the written word of God right in our presence, and we honor him. And we're just Bible people, and do not stray from the word of God. I said this in Sunday school. I want to say it real fast. Psalm 138. God says, I have placed my word above my name. Now, the name of God is pretty important. We are to exalt him. But he said, I place my word above my name. You know why that is? Because no matter who it is, you, me, the butcher, the maker, the baker, the candlestick maker, doesn't matter who it is. All right? If we set our Bibles down, we drift. Yeah. Amen. We drift. It's happened to entire denominations, whole congregations, people, individuals, and groups just kind of set their Bible down. We got it now, and now they make up some of their own stuff, and before long, they're adrift. And they get so far away from God. Let's be a Bible people. Number one, be born again. Number two, make sure you're baptized. And number three, let's be Bible led. Again, too often the Bible is de-emphasized. 45 minutes of music and 10 minutes of Bible, that ain't gonna cut it for me. I want meat and potatoes. Man, I want the Word of God. I don't need my ears tickled. Now I don't need to be entertained, and I don't need to have some kind of rhythm to get myself to, you know, that's not where it's at. I want to be Bible-led. Church family, no matter who you are, just a young babe in Christ, and there's several here this morning, or old as dirt, don't set your Bible down. Verse 42, let's look at that again real quick. They continued steadfastly. That means regularly. Surely, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. There are several things there. Number one, they practiced the family of God. Sometimes, in the busyness of life in which we live, and in a ministry that's as large as ours, people fall between the cracks all the time. We've got to develop a love for the brethren that is evident. We've got to get out of our own little circle of friends regularly and reach out to new people and reach out to visitors in the church services. One thing that held together, obviously the Holy Spirit of God, obviously the Word of God and the preaching of God's Word, but also they had fellowship. Man, a Baptist can shine at anything. It ought to be fellowship. Nobody can eat like us. Man, I'm the biggest foodie there is in the world. No lie. I'm kind of known for it everywhere I go now below the bridge. I go to a preacher's fellowship. The first place I go after I shake a few hands going to the kitchen, as I go to the kitchen and check with the ladies, what are we having for lunch? And they kind of all expect me now. I go in there and say, hey, fried chicken today? No, we got ham today. Oh, okay. Personally, I like fried chicken the best, but I would not tell them that, right? We're a foodie kind of people. I know I'd weigh 300 pounds. I just can't do that, right? But fellowship. And it is heartening to me to know that Christ broke bread with the disciples. A lot of the fellowship was around the table. They're out in the boat fishing. Here's the resurrected Christ. Come on ahead, come on ashore, guys. There's fish and bread upon the coals. And they fellowship. Man, we're going to have a dinner out in the gym, and all the tables are set up, and it's going to be a wonderful day, and it's going to be fellowship. And that's important for a New Testament church. If you're a new family in the church, and there are several here this morning, and you don't know a lot of people, that's okay. That's all right. You will. But let's everybody else, let's make sure we reach out to the new folks, and let's get them involved. And another thing in verse 42 is they practiced prayer. Man, it was about prayer. They had a life. We have a lifeline that the world does not have. We have a resource that the world knows nothing about. It's the place of prayer. I this morning, I last night, I all week, you too. There's a place that you can go. We call it a prayer closet. It might be in your automobile. It might be in the back 40. A place where you might be by your bed, where you get down on your knees and you're alone with God. You better have a prayer closet. You better be a person that knows the power of prayer. And they did in the first century church. One time they prayed and the whole place shook. Another time they prayed and Peter was in prison. They prayed for God to deliver him and his chains fell off. That was unbelievable. There's Peter out knocking at the door saying, hey, let me in. We can't answer the door right now. We're praying for Peter. And he's actually, God heard their prayers. You say, man, can that happen in the year 2024? We worship a prayer-answering God. That's why on Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting. And we bring things to God. And God answers prayers. That is I want everything the first century church had. One more, just a verse. Let me read on down through 47. Fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. That's the power of God. Hey, there is no fear of God in America today. There's very little fear of God in the family of God. Too many of God's children think it's a party. They don't reach any of the lost. They don't have a prayer closet. There's no time reading their Bible. They're not growing. They're just kind of existing, getting along. And all the believed were together and had all things common and sold, that's not political communism, that's just taking care of one another, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Just this week, we got a card from a live stream viewer and they sent $2,500. And I want to say this because I've mentioned money a couple of times this morning. It's not about money. I don't know who gives what unless they send a card directly to me. That's not what it's about. We're not trying to build a kingdom here on this earth. We're trying to reach the lost. This building, which is not the church, it's a tabernacle. If you were Jews, meeting place, you would use the word synagogue. This is a building. That's all this is. When the trumpet sounds, the church is raptured. The building's left behind. It's Fundamental Baptist Church meeting in this tabernacle. And if you were in the first century, they were meeting in synagogues, that's a word that means assembly place. The word ecclesia means called out assembly. So here we are, the church. We aren't just our church. We do church. We're the family of God. We're doing our best. And we're never going to worship this building. Never going to worship this pulpit. Never going to worship a man. We worship our Savior. His name is Jesus. Verse 44 says, and all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, parted them to all men, as every man had need, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Wait a minute, daily. They went to church every day of the week. Daily, I want what the early church had. Daily, with one accord, they were unified in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, so they fellowshiped one with another, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God. That's my last thing here this morning. The joy of the Lord. I want what the first century church had. It's more than just getting together and having church. It's the joy of the Lord. I had the best time at the Pickford-Maplewood football game last Friday night. And the game was a blowout. Man, that other team, I don't think anybody from over there would be watching the live stream. That was the most pitiful football team I've ever seen in my life. But it was as one-sided as it could possibly be. But it's okay because it was a perfect night. Lots of people from Bickford were there. So I went around shaking hands and smiling and trying to just show them that, hey, the old Baptist preacher isn't a big grump, Mr. Grumpy Pants, and always preaching against sin. And I realized people were staring at me a lot. And a lot of people came up to me. And then I remembered, I got my hat on, my political hat on. And a lot of people compliment, hey, like your hat. But I just want to, we ought to be known, every single one. Here's a little parenthesis, I better say this. Whoever wins the White House, even if it goes what I think is bad, I realize that may be the best thing for America. Take everything away. Man, take it away. I'll bet the church would get serious then. So no matter how it turns out, I'm good, right? My faith isn't at Washington, D.C. I'm just doing my best to show the joy of the Lord. Listen to what it says about these people. Last verse. Praising God and having favor with all the people. That's people outside as well. They had a good testimony. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The gates of hell will not prevail against my church. Upon this rock, Jesus, I will build my church. Come and behold the works of the Lord. Truth be known, we do not reflect Christ like we ought. I'm done. I was going to go to Acts chapter 5. We won't do that. In Acts chapter 5, there was pushback in Jerusalem. So what was that, preacher? Persecution. Now they're starting to be imprisoned. Now things seemingly are going wrong. And they counted it all joy that they had the ability to suffer for Jesus. That's different than the Christian in 2024. Look, I'm missing that tooth. They hit me in the mouth. Look, I got a tooth missing. Praise God. Man, they were so happy. How could they be that way? They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And this world is not my home. I'm just the passing through. What a wonderful truth that is. All the glory goes to God. I'm closing my Bible. That means I'm almost done, right? I'm closing my Bible, but I want to say one more thing. We're not done yet. We are not done yet. We have hundreds of people that gather here on Sunday. And God is certainly blessing. We have seen the hand of God miraculously again and again and again. We are not done yet. You know why we're not done yet? There's still some people not born again. And that's what God in heaven is concerned about. He looks at the eastern end of the Upper Peninsula and he sees more lost people than saved. He sees people that if they died right now, they're going to hell. And then he sees a church that's striving to do the right thing, but he wants to do even more, even more. We're not done yet.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.